streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to PopCulture.com's group chat, where we talk about all the reality TV news that we care about and you really need to know. I'm one of your hosts, Anna Rumor.
And I'm Jameson Brown.
And I'm Victoria McGottamy.
We are stepping into the ballroom today for the return of Dancing with the Stars, aka the only thing that gives me life this time of year. We have updates on the Bachelor drama between Colton and Cassie, which is like horrifying. So we'll dig deep into that. And then we're going to recap Big Brother for you, obviously, because things are starting to heat up. People are making moves and we're excited about it. So let's start right off the bat with Dancing with the Stars. It came back Monday. And right off the bat, I just want to address, this is Tyra Banks' first show ever hosting Dancing with the Stars after Tom Bergeron and Erin Andrews were let go in July. And I thought she did a good job.
You know, I had faith that Tyra was going to do well just simply because she has been in television for so long and she's got such a vivacious personality. And yeah, I hated to see the negativity on social media, but I think she did a great job. I mean, there's a lot of new things that we're working with. Plus she's filling the shoes. And I think people were not pleased with the way that Tom, especially Tom, was let go. But Tom and Erin together. But I think, you know what? She made the best of it. She did a great job.
I think people need to learn that they can balance the two things. Like, I too miss Tom and Erin, but they're not here anymore. So I'm not going to be salty and let that be something that really like pisses me off for the rest of the season. I'm going to go in with an open mind. And I think Tyra was really charming. She like lost an earring at one point and handled that in a really funny way where she's like, ah, whatever, I'll wear it as a brooch. Doesn't matter. Carol Baskin couldn't hear her at one point, and there was this really funny iconic moment where she was like, oh, did you bring your tiger fierceness to the stage? No? Nah? All right. And then just moved on. Like, I don't know. Yeah. She does have that background in TV, so I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but I'm glad it was a good vehicle for her.
I think people are just so critical because they're still very salty about the whole Tom. I mean, you got to think, this whole Tom and Erin news only broke, what, a few weeks ago? So it's still very fresh in everyone's minds. And I think had they been let go in a different fashion, I think people would have been a little bit more open-minded. I don't think it has anything to do with Tyra, honestly. I think anyone who was coming into that was going to be heavily criticized. So I don't think, and I think Tyra understands that. She's not taking it personally. I hope not. But it seems like
Tyra takes anything personally.
Yeah, she's kind of like, listen, been there, done that. Like, I've been a staple in the modeling world and you know, in television. And so she, anyone was bound to fail. And I say like that in a sense of like fail in everyone's eyes coming into, you know, Dancing with the Stars after Tom and Erin. But I think people are going to just like forget about it and they'll be fine and they'll love her.
Well, the crazy thing is, so, you know, everyone's like, new host, I hate change. I can't handle it in my life. They were like that. But the season ratings came in and the premiere had the highest ratings in four seasons. So clearly people were tuning in, whether it was to hate watch or to regular watch. It doesn't matter for the network.
Can we just say, though, because we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I think Carol Baskin may have had a little bit to do with that.
Oh, yeah. Well, definitely.
I think people just want to see Carol Baskin. Everyone that I'm talking to is like, Carol
Baskin. And probably added on to that was that commercial space.
Let's talk about that. Because that was the most surreal moment of pop culture as of late when Carol Baskin's late husband, Don Lewis's family, ran an ad asking for information in his disappearance Dancing with the Stars. And if you haven't watched Tiger King, they think that she killed him. So, I mean, points to that lawyer because, man, that got a lot of attention. And I think it deserved a lot of attention. That's why.
I think she handled it pretty well, too. If you listen to the interviews that she does, I feel like Carol handles, that's
She's got it down by this point.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. She's been denying being a murderer for like 23 years now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to like go in it, like with giving her a fair shot at like, maybe she didn't, you know, I'm trying to like,
well, we don't know. I mean,
it's all alleged. I mean, no one knows. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't. So like, I'm trying to give it that fair shot, but the funny, I loved Pasha, her dance partner.
Yeah.
Like his initial reaction. He was like, oh, like, you know, everyone is giving him hell for that, being like, do not piss this lady off, okay? She might kill you.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, that would be the most bizarre situation to be put in as like a professional ballroom dancer.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to get really close to this alleged potential murderer over the next however long. So let's make it a good experience for everyone.
You know how Dancing with the Stars, they're always so very like close, you know, they're always holding hands. They're always like hugging on each other. It's like, I'm very interested to see how their dynamic is going to work out, if they're going to get close like that, or if he's still just going to be like,
with his, I did like, notice
arm lightly around her, like, I don't want to hug her.
I did notice this yesterday, and I am like 99% sure it's not shade, but it's funny, so I'll say it. I'm sure it's just an oversight, but if you go to his Twitter bio, he still has his last season team name in there instead of his current season team name. Now, it's just the premiere, and it's his Twitter bio. I don't even know what mine says anymore, but it made me laugh. I was like, well.
Wait, hold on. I didn't understand this. He still has his what?
So they get team names every season. He still has last season's team name in there as opposed to his season's.
Oh.
I mean, I'm sure it's just an oversight, but it made me laugh.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, you've got people behind the scenes that are making sure that these people are on top of stuff like that for promotional purposes, but who knows?
They missed it.
Probably kind of weird for her to walk in being like, everyone here thinks I'm a murderer. And let's just assume maybe she didn't do it. Like, that would suck if people thought you murdered someone and you really didn't. But then if she did, then you're just walking in being like, well, everyone kind of knows. So,
well, I mean, I guess it's awkward. A good reason for a socially distanced season. You're not really running into too many people. But let's talk about that. So it is, well, okay, one last critique of Carol before we move on from that. First of all, she got the low score of the night with 11 out of 30 for her Paso Doble to Eye of the Tiger. So on the nose. Mm-hmm. But her costume was truly insane. It looked like it came out of a Halloween store. And I was like, when they showed it, I was like, that's not the real thing, right? That's her clothes. And then everyone else coming out with these beautiful costumes and hers was whack. Okay. But moving on to the social distancing aspect of the season, another reason people probably tuned in, because like, it's going to be kind of weird. They have the judges sitting far apart, but you know, the way they move the camera, you don't really see Tyra standing far apart from everyone, which the only time that came into play was when Carol couldn't hear her. But I thought that it was going to be weirder not having the audience there, but they played audience noises and I kind of forgot they weren't there.
I was about to say,
this ties into my pop culture pick of the week. This is a very interesting topic, but go ahead.
Okay, I loved Twitter. Twitter was going crazy like when it first started, because it sounded, you bring up a great point, it sounded very normal. Like I did not, I actually spoke with Candace Cameron yesterday and who was on Dancing with the Stars a few years ago. And we discussed that. We were like, it actually like felt semi-normal for it being the circumstances. But Twitter was hilarious that night because they were coming out with all these memes, all these videos of the person that was like in charge of like the audience laughter and the boos and stuff. And it was just, oh my God, Twitter had me literally up in heaps crying tears of laughter.
It was so funny.
Whoever's in charge of that, kudos to you.
I mean, it was just like the booing got me, because I get the applause, but then they would be like, boo. I'm like, there's no one here. Who's booing? One guy is making that choice. He's like, wow, I don't like that.
The laugh track person's like having a real fun time back there.
Yeah, I want to know if that's a job. Is that the job for the intern, for the newbie, for the PA? Or are they like, no, we need someone super experienced because this is a critical part of the evening.
Who knows? But it was cracking me up. Bruno was cracking me up because, you know, he's so like, he performs his
hair.
Oh, I know. He looks great with gray hair.
He looks fabulous. I think it's bleach blonde. Was it bleach
blonde? No, that's his natural gray hair. Because he stopped dyeing it. Yeah.
Oh, he looks...
He normally dyes it black, but he looks great with the natural silver.
I like it.
I want him to keep that up. Mm-hmm. But I was cracking up because, you know, he performs his reviews and he was performing it to no one, but he was looking mm-hmm. at the audience, quote unquote, and still doing it. And everyone was like, you know, this is pure camp, him just absolutely putting on a show and chewing up the yes. scenery for no one. I loved it. I forgot that the people weren't there. And the one thing I did think was funny is, like, a quintessential part of Dancing with the Stars is sometimes you can't hear people because the audience is cheering so loudly. And yeah. they even replicated that.
I know. They made it feel somewhat normal. And you know what? The other day, I know we hit on Carole Baskin quite a bit, but the other dancers, I mean, really, really brought it. You know, I wanted a little bit more from Nelly because I love Nelly, but AJ did great. Sky, oh my God, wonderful.
Oh, I know. She's a queen.
Donnie, you know, so we're going to have a good season, I think.
So just going through my top couple teams, top three, I'll go through. Number one, I love AJ and Cheryl. They yes. did a jive to Blinding Lights and they got an 18 out of 30. I love them. He seems like a sweetheart. I am Team NSYNC and I want that to be public knowledge, but there's no one from NSYNC on this season, so I can root for him.
Yeah.
I'm also loving Vernon Davis and PETA. I did not know that this man existed ahead of the show, but he is very good. They did a foxtrot to All of Me, got a 17 out of 30. And I thought he did a really good job for being an athlete because sometimes the athletes don't do so hot. Mm-hmm. Charles Oakley.
I mean, it's Charles.
And then I also loved Justina Machado and Sasha. They got 21 out of 30 for our respect. Mm-hmm. I think they did a tango? I forget. But we have a really good season on our hands.
Yeah. And I think, but you know what? I like that they're doing something that I like that we can all go into this feeling as if it was a little bit normal. I think mm-hmm. that like, as we head into the winter seasons, especially for people that are going to have to like really huddle in their house now because of cold weather coming, I think with these shows providing some sense of normalcy, it's going to make all of us kind of like tone down all the heat from everything else going on right now with politics and coronavirus and, you know, all the crazy madness happening. So I was very pleased with it.
Just going to stave off my seasonal affectiveness disorder with the sunlight and some Dancing with the Stars, guys. Exactly. It's fine. There's one more note I wanted to make about Dancing with the Stars before we move on. What did you guys think of Derek Huff? Because I thought he did great as a judge.
I love that he had the nerve to do the Savage song.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I wanted to bring that up. Derek Huff is amazing. I'm a huge fan of him. I think he's going to be great as a judge. I love his sister as well. I love that he did the Savage song to Carol. I thought Carol was going to be mad about it, but in her interviews afterwards, she handled it very well.
Well, I mean, what's he going to do on the spot? For people who don't know, it's a TikTok sound where it's like, Carole Baskin killed her husband, whacked him, can't convince me it didn't happen. And he did the beginning of it. So if you know what the sound is, and I'm sure she does, he did it right to her face. And that was very funny. but I thought he did a good job. You know, he wasn't my favorite pro when he was on the show. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I didn't dislike him. He just wasn't my favorite. So whenever he returned, I was like, well, we'll see how he does. But he was giving good critiques. He was getting to the point, which is good. He seems nice. He wasn't being a jerk about it. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing what he has more.
And we got a little appearance from Lynn.
Glenn. We did. I do miss Lynn because he's in the UK right now because of coronavirus. But he looks great. Mm-hmm. I loved he'll be stopping in throughout the season. I did have a tiny, tiny conspiracy theory, one that doesn't even warranted, but when I was watching, I was like, this is my initial thought. When he zoomed in or whatever, and it was Tyra being like, Len, can you hear me? And he's like, I can hear you, Tyra. That whole thing was so scripted. He recorded that way ahead of time, and they put in the, can you hear me, at the beginning so people wouldn't know it was scripted, because there's no way he's staying up over in the UK, and the entire thing seemed pre-filmed. So that doesn't matter. That's what I would do too.
Ooh, we got a theory on our hands.
And just watching it, I was like, I don't believe that this is happening in this moment.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever.
It could be something else going on. We could be on standby. Who knows?
Listen, if I was Len Goodman, I'd be like, I'm recording that ahead of time. And if you want me to pretend that it's live, I can. But we're not doing it live because it's mm-hmm. what time in the UK?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So all in all, can't wait for the rest of the season. We'll keep giving you more details because this is my sports, guys. I love Dancing with the Stars so much. I get really into it. I already cried twice. So yeah, we'll move on with that. Let's get into the darkness in Bachelor Nation right now.
I'm excited for this one.
What?
In the worst kind of way, sorry.
Excited to like talk about it because no one in my life cares other than like, you guys. Yeah. So this is the first opportunity I've had to really dive in deep. Cassie Randolph, you remember her. She quote unquote won Colton Underwood's season of The Bachelor a couple years back. She was granted a temporary restraining order against Colton. The two broke up in May. And she alleged in this full document, she was granted the order, so it's public record, you can see it online. She alleged that he was stalking her and harassing her. And if you look at the text messages that she includes, the allegations that he put a tracking device on her car, which the pictures of are online, and he allegedly admitted to doing so. It's horrifying. It makes the fence jump. You know, he jumped the fence after she left him at the end of his season.
Looks
like something out of a horror movie instead of like the romantic way they painted it. Super scary. His people have come out and called it a legal matter. But the allegations in it are like he was coming by her house and lurking in the alley at 2 a.m. He planted the tracker. He was faking numbers to send her harassing texts and claiming to be the victim of the same stalker before admitting that it was him on both ways.
What?
He was like texting her about the people who were coming in and out of her apartment and like accusing her of seeing her ex-boyfriend and stuff like that. Like if you read the documents, it's really, really scary.
I mean, no wonder. I mean, honestly, she probably, if you think about it, I mean, like I knew about this. I had not yet had a second to dive into all the details. So this is like news to me, explaining all those details. But when you look back on the season, like it just, he seemed so forceful. Like she didn't want him and he still chased after her, which, don't get me wrong, like, it seemed romantic, because that is kind of romantic, where you're like, oh, like, hesitant, you know, and he's like, no, like, I love you, be with me, you know, gross. Like, I'm not saying, like, in his situation, but I'm saying, like, sometimes being chased after is, like, a romantic gesture, right, but now, like, looking back at it, but, like, even their relationship afterwards just did not seem genuine, and even, like, when, I mean, I had spoken to both of them, earlier when this whole shutdown pandemic thing had just started. So I think this is probably back in March and they were separate and they just did not seem like they were in sync with things.
Yeah.
And so when their split happened, I just wasn't really shocked, but now hearing this, like poor girl, like no wonder she wanted out of that.
It's really scary. They're having a full hearing in October, but like a judge has already reviewed all of this and granted it. So that lends, you know, obviously legal credence to it. And reading the text from him, like one of them was like, you're a selfish person who isn't ready to be loved. I spent 2 years loving you the best I could. And now I'm sitting here feeling like a fool. I've done nothing but be there for you. And you still disrespect. It's like, it's pages. It's really like, it's horrifying.
Okay, but that like might be true, but putting a tracking device on someone's car and then stalking them is like, no.
Well, like
how do you
here's
expect
the
someone
thing.
To like love that?
Well also
if
here's
she
the thing.
Doesn't want to like reciprocate back, like that's it. That's
exactly.
Like the end of that.
Exactly. Like, walk away.
Who wants to date someone who really doesn't want to date them? That's insane.
And like the fact that he said like for 2 years, like should have known after like month one, right?
I know. It's like for 2 years, I've been really aggressive. Like, leave. I don't know. That's
like when she wanted to leave a national show, like you should have known.
That's kind of a pretty big signal.
It's like, well, and I'm just curious because we've had legal recourse in Bachelor Nation before, but this is the first time that there's been, you know, allegations of abuse between the two like people in a relationship on the show, especially with a star that they really paraded out there as like this golden boy. So I'm really curious to see what kind of repercussions are going on there. You know, if they'll do like a little PSA about like, no means no. And also trackers can be a felony depending on who places
them. Yeah, that's just so over the line.
Yeah, and I've been really disgusted at, like, there have been some really pro-Colton stories that have come out where it's, like, an anonymous source being like, well, she just wants to be famous. And I'm like, no, we're not doing that. It's 2020. We're not writing those kinds of stories, okay? So everyone take your anonymous source and get out of here. We're not blaming the victim of a crime.
No, not at all. I mean, here's the thing, too.
An alleged crime.
I'll be honest with you. I was never really a big Cassie fan. She was not my favorite in the show, after the show. Like, she just wasn't. I was a little, just if I'm being honest, like, just a little. This is so, like, you know, I don't know this girl personally. You know, I'm sure she's a very nice girl. But as an onlooker watching the show, I get that there's a storyline the producers are trying to hit. Like, I get all of that. She just wasn't my favorite. But when it comes to something like this, whether you like the girl or not, if there's proof there that this has been happening, like, you drop that. You know what I mean? Like, there's no defending what he did. Like, that's you draw the line, you know?
Right. Imagine someone gets stabbed in the leg and you're like, I don't know. Sometimes they're a little annoying. It's like, what are you talking about?
Do we just stab people now? Because we're
okay.
Yeah, no. There's always going to be people on both sides, which is frustrating sometimes, especially in a situation like this. But
yeah.
Dang, I'm interested to see how this plays out because.
Yeah, the ramifications are potentially monumental. So we'll keep an eye out on that and give you guys the update. We're going to take a quick ad break, though, before we move on to Big Brother. You'll hear from our lovely sponsors and then we'll talk game. Because I'm ready to talk game. Mm-hmm.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, we are back, and I forgot that I wrote this, but the first line in my outline is, ooh, getting a little spicy this week.
I mean, things are finally heating up.
What are
it
we
only took like, us, like, what, 5 weeks?
Yeah, week 75 in captivity. So things are heating up. I'll do a quick recap of what's happened, and then we'll talk about it. So Dani won HOH. And despite talking big game about putting up Tyler, she stuck with her committee alliance and put up Kevin and David. Luckily for David, David had this disruptor power from a last challenge and used it to take himself off the block. We'll talk about that moment because it was
I want to talk about that.
So Dani puts up Tyler and tries to be like, it was just a moment. I didn't know what to do. And no one's buying that. And then Devon wins her first challenge ever. Go, Devon. We love her. And she used it to take Kevin off the block, which infuriated Dani because she's like, are you kidding me? I've had to nominate 4 people this week. And she put up Ian, is saying she's going after Tyler. But that's not true. So let's talk about some of the high points this week. Let's go into David.
We're talking about David.
Power.
Okay. So the fact that David, I loved... First off, when he started like crying and they go to his confessional and then he like comes in with a smile, but then like afterwards he like goes around thinking he's got like this slick plan put together of like, did you save me? Did you save me? Oh, you didn't save me. Did you save me? And everyone's like, bro, we're not buying this. Like, you saved yourself. Like, why are you even trying at this point? This guy, listen,
I love him. I went from hating him because he had no idea what he was doing to absolutely loving him because he is fumbling his way to the top, and I love
him. I mean, that is true, but I'm just, he's starting to annoy me.
Oh, no, he's like, I've got this. No one's going to know it's me. And then he goes up to Cody. He's like, who do you think took me off the block? And Cody goes,
he's really trying to play at the all-star level.
Like, like every single person he talked to was like, you did it. He's like, me? Yeah. No one else knew that, David. It's you.
God.
That was very funny. I laughed hard at that. I was so happy that Devon finally won a challenge because I love her so much, but the girlfriend cannot win at anything. So she wanted the challenge. It was very funny. You had to stack these little micro beer cans that were like half an inch tall, maybe, with tweezers. And Tyler almost won, which would have been really funny. But he had like all but three stacked. He goes, I'm just going to take a deep breath and relax myself. And he took a deep breath. And on the exhale, he blew his entire stack over. It was so funny to watch. Everyone was like, oh, no.
But I love how he told Danny, though, that, like, I won't be salty if you decide to put me up. After he offered to go up, because dude's been complaining that he wants to go home, and now he's, like, halfway trying to get back into the game. And then he got real salty when he got put up. I mean, it is kind of messed up, because she did say that she wasn't going to go after him, at least until final sixes. But, like, do we really believe that? But then he got salty, and then he actually wanted to win, and then he didn't win.
Tyler, I went in a really big Tyler fan, and I don't dislike him as a person, but his gameplay this season is absolutely whack. He started off playing well, but he's half in it. It's weird. He was like, I'm going to go home. He was my girlfriend. And it's like, okay, well, then do it. And then they're like, well, you can't. And he's like, okay, well, I'll stay here and cry for a minute. And everyone's like, okay, we'll send you home. And then he's like, no, I'm going to play to win. It's like, make up your mind, because I am sick of watching you be both homesick and also want to win $500,000. Because you can't do both. Also, you know, like, you don't grow up.
I can't figure out if I halfway like Danny because she just wants to stir things up in the house for, like, kicks and giggles, or if I'm really annoyed at her because the girl cannot make a decision.
I
think she's trying to play it too safe. Like, with everyone.
Well, that's why I'm annoyed with her, is because she talks such big game. She's like, I'm going to stir things up. My HOH is going to be crazy. And then does literally zero things to stir it up. The only reason this week is exciting is because of other people doing stuff. And then Danny got mad at Devon for using the veto. She's like, I can't believe she would use that. It's like, I can. Yeah. She won it. Why would she not use it?
Danny. I love all the cry scenes of Nicole not wanting Ian to go.
It's like, you were on the feeds making fun of Ian literally a week ago. Now he's your best friend and you don't want him to go? Like, I don't believe you for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And she's had a bunch of sponsors drop her too since she did that, which, I mean, she wasn't the one who made the comment, but she laughed at it, which is, you know, complicit. And and now they apparently told her in the diary room, like, hey, you can't say those things, as they do during the show. And now she's like, Ian, pretending my dear to be friend. Best friends. I don't even care if I get voted out in these days. I just want us to be best friends. It's like, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
I don't believe you, Nicole.
I love how we hated Memphis in like week two. And now like Memphis has not been a plot in this story for the last couple of weeks.
And that's why he is flying under. I mean, he's the one who made the gross comments about Ian. So like, canceled. But he is playing a really good game right now because no one's really talking about him. Mm-hmm. And that's how you skate on by to the end, especially when everyone's being such a drama queen and like screaming and crying and getting drunk and being upset at each other. Maybe he'll make it to the end. I am still rooting for Ian because he's my favorite. Or David, because that would be really funny because he's clearly never really watched a season of Big Brother.
You really did go from hating David to like, this is a transformation, Anna.
I hated him because I thought he was going to get out like second and it was just going to be a waste of a spot. But the fact that he is playing such an inept, weird game, like everyone in the house knows that he's A, lying, or B, thinks he's just bizarre. And he's
Devon straight up called him weird. She's like, stop, you're being weird.
He is being weird.
He is.
He's being super weird. He's such an odd guy. Even his own Twitter account, like we said, was making fun of him and still is. So the fact that he's made it so far, despite the fact that he's playing a game unlike any game we've ever seen before, now I have flipped to respect, and now I kind of want him to win if my Ian doesn't win. So
I don't know.
Right. Well, and then the interesting thing that could happen this week with the vote, which is going to happen Thursday night, which is tonight. And so we don't know. And sorry. You'll listen to it on Friday. It could be a really interesting week because we could get a 4-4 vote depending on how Nicole votes. And then Danny would have to pick. And Danny has been, you know, already like drenched in blood, this HOH, having to pick 4 different people to go on the block. If she has to go up.
I feel like if she keeps complaining that she didn't want it, well, like, you could have opted out and not won.
Listen, she could have not won, but there was the whole...
I get it. It was, like, down to her and telling Tyler. Each other.
Well, Danny was saying, like, telling Tyler to drop, like, I've got you. That's what he says. But then when he did drop, I don't think he did so as part of a deal or anything like that. But when he did drop, she was like, Matt, you're going up on the block. And I was like, okay.
I think Danny also showing her colors. I think a lot of people are starting to really speculate whether they can trust her. So I just feel like she's not playing a good game right now, at least for her sake.
She's always been an messy game player. That's why it's fun. But like, will it come back to bite her? Probably. Yeah. I don't see her winning this at all, especially after this week. So
no.
That's fascinating. Starting to amp up. I'm a little bit more interested. I've been watching the live feeds again. I stopped for a little bit because I was like, meh, no one's doing anything. But now it's very funny and it's getting interesting. So we'll watch Big Brother and let you know next week. And then let's go to our pop culture picks of the week and see what has been inspiring us this week. Doing a lot of voices today. I don't know what that is.
I like it. Keeps us on our toes.
Thank you. Yeah. It's all caffeine
based. Interesting. I need some caffeine in my system.
Here, I'll send it to you through the screen.
Jameson, sorry. We've been just like bombarding you this entire time.
No. I'm ready with pop culture pick of the week.
Yes, Jameson, you said you had one that tied into our weird audience
thing.
It's
kind of a weird one because the pick is, you know, this has been really week one of a return of a lot of sports, you know, specifically football, and it is Harry. Stop. Sorry, my dog is just like the cat.
Let's
my dog
have
is,
a Harry debut.
Yes. Well, yes. He's asleep, and he is. Oh. Sometimes he snores and barks in his dreams.
Oh, he's welcome to bark.
We support that. Okay, we're an animal lover.
Yes.
I did lock my babies up this time, though. But
oh no.
I know, like, the one time I'm like, I have him here on this podcast, he's like under the table, just like going crazy. So, no, but back to the sports thing. It's so, like, with Dancing with the Stars, it's really weird. You know, I want sports back all the way, but it is just a bizarre, you know, just kind of across the board, like, there's no fans. It's, you know, and it's a little bit, you can tell a little bit more with sports broadcasting than like with Dancing with the Stars. They did a good job with kind of making it seem real with Dancing with the Stars, but sports, you can, in my opinion, you can tell.
And I
it's
agree. Just
it's weird. it's a pick of the week, but it's a pick because it's just kind of, it just shines further light into just bizarre times, you know.
I watched one basketball game, my first basketball game I've ever watched, a pro one, and there were like large people. They were clearly zooming in, like, but some people's heads were bigger than each other's because like they were sitting different distances from the computer. So you'd have one person with a really big head and then someone with a small head. It was making me laugh a lot.
It's just, it's interesting. So
I'll be
ready for next year when all this mess is done and, you know, could hopefully, you know, get back to fully normal. So
yes.
Fingers crossed.
Yes.
Victoria, your pop culture pick?
Well, I was going to say, I do have two, and one of them was Jameson's. I'm very excited that sports are back. It's another thing that I feel like can make us feel normal, but to what Jameson said, it's weird. Football, you've got some people in the stands because they're still letting season ticket holders and a few fans go. I think season ticket holders get 2 games per year, but at least this year.
Some are like, they basically went to the big – heavy hitter donors, and like they're like, y'all get priority, and then everyone else is like, I mean, at the end of the day, financially, I get from a business standpoint, but it just kind of sucks.
Yeah, so football's semi-normal-ish. The NBA, I watched the NBA. I don't like that. I wish they would just fill the stands with, like, boxed images of people, because they created this box, like, this wall that, like, literally meets the edge of the court on all four sides, and it's very weird, it's weird. I don't like that. So if
we feels very Black Mirror.
It does, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, it does. So, you know, listen, first world problems. I'm not going to complain. Sports is back. We didn't even know if we'd get a season, so at least we have it. But my other pick is Paris Hilton's documentary.
Yes.
So I was supposed to watch the full thing last night. I ended up falling asleep, so I've watched part of it. I have not watched the full thing. But I have to say, as soon as this came out, I was very interested. I love documentaries, and I love behind-the-scenes stuff. I've always been very fascinated with, like, what really goes on behind the scenes. So I'm very intrigued to see this different side of Paris that is so different from what we have seen, what we've heard for so long. I'm really excited to hear her side of the story. So again, I have not made it very far in. I've made it probably about 30-ish minutes in, and it's an hour and 45 minutes. So I'm not super far, but I'm very intrigued to finish watching that.
I'm going to piggyback off that just for a second, because okay. I have long been a Paris Hilton stan. Actually, screw it. Yeah. This is my pop culture pick too. Sorry.
Oh. Yes, girl.
I have a lot to say. I have a lot to say. I'll give you the elevator pitch instead of my full opinion on it. As a Paris Hilton stan, she has always, like literally for a decade now, has been like, I was playing a character. I have been doing satire. That's not my real voice. If you listen to any interviews with her, she has a lower voice. She doesn't talk like that. She's like, I'm a nice, normal person. I'm smart. I was doing a satire. Like, The Simple Life was supposed to be funny, and it was. She's like, yeah, that was just all
we appreciated it.
That I was putting on. And for some reason, she hasn't been able to shake her, like, image from back in the day, her dumb image. And I'm just very glad that finally, publicly, you know, I'm seeing, like, giant think pieces now being like, whoa, Paris Hilton is smart. Like, she's been saying that for years. No one's just been saying it because she's not as relevant.
She's actually very much a tomboy too, which I can appreciate, because I grew up and still am a tomboy, you know? So I can appreciate anyone that can dress up, but at heart, it just wants to wear basketball shorts and a t-shirt.
Gender is a construct. Who cares what we wear? Damn. You know, like, let's just all go whatever and wear whatever clothes they're comfortable. But,
She gets personal in this documentary.
Yes. Like, she talks a lot about the abuse that she had when she was in a child. Well, not a child, but like a teenager. She's still a child. Going to this boarding school that she was sent to by her mother. So there's a lot that goes into that too. We won't dive into all that, but I'll just piggyback off to my own piggyback. So it's a double piggyback, which sounds very unstable. Kathy Hilton is rumored to be possibly joining Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, wow.
So,
more of this.
Really?
So she's going to be joining her, what? Is it her sister? Are they sisters? Yeah.
Kyle Richards.
Isn't Kyle Richards on that?
Yeah. But I mean, we don't know if this is happening. It's a rumor. They say that people are joining all the time. They said that Kris Jenner was joining, and she's definitely not. So,
Kris Jenner is not going to join.
No. So that will be interesting if she does. And we've gotten glimpses of Big Kathy, as they call her, on the show in the past, but this would be the first, like, feature. So I don't know. It'd be interesting.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well,
so, we'll keep.
I'm going to finish up next week. Happen. I'm going to give you my full opinion next week when I watch the whole thing.
Keep people coming back. We're teasing it, dangling the carrot. Yeah,
to be continued, ..
I like it. Okay, we'll end this with the TBC then. Follow popculture.com. We've got everything, all your up-to-date news there. We're on Facebook. I'm at Anna Rumor on Twitter.
I'm at Janison G. Brown.
And I'm at V. Magotomy.
Drop us a rating and review. We read them and love them and hold them close to our hearts. I don't know. That's weird. And subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll talk to you next week for part two of Victoria's review on Paris Hilton.
Whoop, whoop.
8 Paramount+ original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then Everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What about with your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount+.